Eva Zeisel is 98 years old. She sits in her apartment on Manhattan's Upper West Side, a tiny figure dwarfed by a wingback chair. She is working.
Well, 98 is not different from all the years before that. And how long it will last, I have no idea, but I don't feel that it will be ending any day now.
Eva Zeisel is sketching a new design for a candelabra to be made from crystal. It's the latest creation in a career still going strong. A popular set of dinnerware she designed in 1952 is back in production. You may have seen it featured in full-page ads for Crate and Barrel. The plates, cups, and gravy boat have generous, curvy lines and swooping handles, part of what sealed her place as one of the premier ceramic designers of the 20th century. Zeisel's story is not easy to tell, because her life really has many stories. There's her groundbreaking career, begun in her native Hungary, and its incredible duration. Then there's her time in one of Stalin's prisons. Her experience there was famously captured in the landmark political novel Darkness at Noon by her longtime friend Arthur Koestler. None of that is evident watching Zeisel work today. She wears a red chiffon scarf, with her wavy white hair brushed back from her face, the hint of a calm smile ever present at the corners of her mouth.
I invent things or design in my mind or in my head any time, day or evening. I also make sketches. Then somebody makes a working drawing. That is Olivia, who is here. She's making the working drawings for my sketches.
Olivia Barry sits close, opens a large pad of paper, and hands it to Eva with a black marker.
This is just a rough sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Can you possibly make it a better drawing?
Mm-hmm. We could also cut it out of paper.
Why don't we cut it out of paper?
Okay, I'll give you a piece.
This is supposed to be round.
Okay.
From a paper cutout, a three-dimensional plaster or clay model will be made, refined along the way, and shaped into a final mold for production. Like much of her work over the decades, this candelabra loops and curls. It's voluptuous.
Well, I'm hardly ever doing designs of straight lines. I'm usually doing curves, probably because I consist myself of rather curves instead of straight lines, meaning I'm a little bit fat.
Zeisel's apartment is filled with her work. A side table holds vases of various heights, which cuddle together, melding into each other's curves. A glass-topped coffee table has legs fashioned into swirling mother and child design. A famous set of salt and pepper shakers she created in 1946 lean into each other, also like a mother and child. Curator Karen Kettering says most of Zeisel's designs reflect the human form. Kettering put together a traveling exhibition of Zeisel's work and is writing a biography of her.
I think her most important contribution is to make modern works that aren't cold. There are so many modern things that are made based on the idea, well, let's make something new just for newness's sake. And she always pushed the idea that things should be warm and familiar, that they might not necessarily look entirely new, but they would still feel good in your hand, and they would feel good in your home.
As a teenager, Eva Zeisel first wanted to paint, but she says she wasn't prepared to starve for her art, so she decided to take up a craft and apprenticed herself to a local potter. It was a dramatic departure from her bourgeois upbringing in a secular Jewish family. After 6 months installing chimney tiles in Budapest, Zeisel became the first female member of the Hungarian Guild of Chimney Sweeps, Oven Makers, Roof Tilers, Well Diggers, and Potters. She then landed a job at a factory in Hamburg. She says she was supposed to make faces all identical to each other.
And everything I did was either too big or too small. And after a while, the owner of the shop decided that although I cannot make them the same, I can make them very different. So I became a designer that way.
An industrial designer, not of individual handicraft, but designing products for mass manufacture. Zeisel calls her creations a gift to those who use them. Soon, Zeisel moved on to Berlin. Then she says she was intrigued by the artistic trends in the Soviet Union and so moved to the communist state. She rose quickly, working for a time at the prestigious Lomonosov porcelain factory near St. Petersburg. By age 29, she was artistic director at the Russian state's china and glass industry in Moscow. Zeisel says she was not a political person, interested only in her design, yet the turbulent politics of the time intervened. There was a knock on Eva's door in the middle of the night.
And then I was arrested in Moscow, sent to Leningrad on a train, put in cell number 4. And cell number 4 became my home for something like 18 or 16 months.
How did you survive your long imprisonment there?
I survived my many months in solitary confinement by controlling my thoughts, keeping none of the thoughts spontaneous. Everything was controlled so that it wouldn't run away with unhappiness. And even so, I must say that I considered it practical to try to attempt at suicide only when you are cutting your veins. From now on, you must know it is lengthwise and not crosswise. When you cut it crosswise, you are still alive.
When her suicide attempt failed, Zeisel says she kept her sanity by exercising her brain. She made up design challenges, such as how to construct a bra. She communicated with prisoners in the next cell by knocking on the wall in a coded alphabet. By eavesdropping, Zeisel overheard interrogations and learned of the charges against her.
The accusation was that I had successfully prepared an onslaught on Stalin's life.
Assassination plot.
And I asked him how successfully this was, because he was alive. And they said, don't make bad jokes.
One day, as mysteriously as she'd been arrested, Zeisel was released and put on a train to Vienna, where she had family and friends. 6 months later, Hitler annexed Austria. Zeisel was on the last train out of the country before German troops arrived. Safe in London, she married longtime beau Hans Zeisel. They arrived in New York City in 1938. The very next day, Zeisel went to the New York Public Library and flipped through a magazine on ceramics and design.
And I called right away the publisher of this magazine. Her name was Madeline Love. And I told her, I looked at her magazine, and it is excellent, but I'm a designer, I'm also excellent. And Madeline Love sent me right away to 23rd Street to the representative of a china factory. And he ordered for me a set of dishes, and I designed them overnight, and he gave me $100. And I was very happy to have this $100 to live on.
Zeisel also began teaching. At the request of the respected Pratt Institute, she developed the first industrial design course for ceramics in the U.S. Then came her big break. In 1942, the Museum of Modern Art commissioned Eva Zeisel to create a modern set of china. Curator Karen Kettering says it was the first all-white set of china in this country.
This was the first table service to ever be produced in the United States entirely without decoration. If you can imagine sort of how it must have looked to see the first abstract painting, the first Malevich black square or something like that. This was something like seeing the museum line. You would have expected flowers or some kind of gilt decoration or some kind of scrolled handle. And instead, what you have are very simple forms, and everything's slightly rounded. There are slightly square-shaped plates, lots of ovals, teardrops. And it was supposed to give you a very modern way of being formal.
And yet she talks about how much she did not like modernism at the time and wasn't really into the whole, what the Museum of Modern Art was showcasing.
And she's still not a big fan of things like abstraction. And it's very interesting, despite the fact that she's one of the most important figures in 20th century modern design.
The Museum of Modern Art exhibited Zeisel's collection in 1946. It launched her American career, which continues to this day at age 98. In her Manhattan apartment, Zeisel pulls out an all-white china set she designed a few years ago for that same Russian factory she worked at in the 30s. It's luminescent, made of bone china. Only two sets a month are being produced. Each set sells for $4,500. It is stunning, but true to what she's been teaching for decades, Zeisel will not call anything she's done perfect.
If you try to do something perfect, I think this is the last time you do anything. If you feel that this has, you have now reached perfection, there can't be anything beyond it.
Eva Zeisel, thank you so very much for speaking with us.
Thank you, darling.
Zeisel reaches for a sip of water from her recently designed Russian collection. The teacup is oval with a delicate handle that rises above the lip. Zeisel brings it to her mouth and swallows.
The handle could be thicker.
You can see photos of Eva Zeisel and her work at our website, npr.org. The exhibition, Eva Zeisel, The Playful Search for Beauty, opens at the Hillwood Museum and Gardens in Washington, D.C. in April.